we're finding ourselves in a very difficult situation where economic growth dropped from 3.3% in 2011, declined all the way down to about 0.2, 0.3% last year. If that downward trend persists, 2020 could actually record a negative for the whole year.
Well, it's been a bruising 2019 for the South African economy, characterized by stagnant growth. And it looks like growth is going to only record 0.2%. Various key factors are to blame. For one, the crippling unreliable power supply that's seen industries falter, the declining growth rate in customer spending, and contraction in government investment, not forgetting a number of collapsing state-owned enterprises, struggling crucial sectors, and falling production numbers, to name a few. All these influences are also said to negatively impact the economic growth rate to below 1% year on year in 2020. So, what now for the year ahead? There are many questions. I am Lenyaro Sello, and in this Investec Focus Radio podcast, I'm joined by Investec Chief Economist Annabel Bishop for an in-depth economic analysis of the year ahead. Good to have you, Annabel.
Thank you.
Firstly, your growth forecast for 2020.
2020, we're looking at 0.8% after, as you said earlier, last year's likely miserable outcome of about 0.2 or 0.3%.
That sounds disappointing. The World Bank recently cut South Africa's economic forecast to below 1%. How significant is that, and will others follow suit?
It is quite key because a number of people are expecting below 1% for this year, and indeed the World Bank having cut its expectations of South Africa's GDP growth this year certainly is focusing not just on the electricity outcome and concerns around Eskom's ability even to provide consistent electricity, but of course as well other structural problems in the economy. And you know, really looking forward for the remainder of this year, what is quite a worry is that the trend we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years has been that forecasts made at the start of the year are revised even lower during the course of this year. And of course that would become a real risk if Eskom does institute the feared Schedule 8 load shedding.
You talk about structural problems. What are these structural problems? What exactly are we doing wrong?
Well, clearly one is the lack of consistent electricity supply from Eskom. And I think we need to bear in mind that an economic growth rate last year of, you know, 0.3%, let's say, still having experienced load shedding, you know, shows that, quite frankly, the amount of electricity we are producing is not sufficient. In fact, the weak growth outcome for last year is largely due to insufficient electricity. We had heavy load shedding in the first quarter of last year and again in the fourth quarter of last year, and even the third quarter was negatively impacted. All of this really feeds through into reducing the productive capacity of the economy, not having sufficient electricity or productive capacity for producers like manufacturers and miners, and a number of these individuals even looking to supply their own electricity. So these are some of the structural issues of South Africa. We also have water problems as well. South Africa, we're a water-scarce country. And of course, these are all as a consequence of insufficient infrastructure investment by government and the parastatals occurring over the past decade. And of course, obviously, the fruit's now coming home to bear. We mustn't bear in mind as well that another challenge for us structurally is that many of our power stations are extremely old and aging. And as a consequence of that, clearly, they will start to be even less and less productive. And that's a worry because it means we could have even more outages.
You've mentioned that one of the key issues is electricity in the country. What can we expect going into the new year?
I think what we've heard so far from Cyril Ramaphosa this year, and certainly at the BUSA conference, has been very much one of looking to implement changes in the electricity system, not only to allow the private sector to start feeding electricity onto the grid, and here we're talking about individual companies or even households, but also indeed as well to allow private sector companies that generate electricity to place that on the grid as well, to sell it to the grid. And all of this will be very positive to South Africa because we need basically every bit of electricity we can get. Other expectations as well, and that seems to also be proceeding, is the division of Eskom into three components. And of course, that would be much more helpful because it would be easier to manage. And of course, looking at transmission, production and control of the grid, with government remaining control of the grid. And of course, I think that will appease many of the political factors in South Africa. But of course, in terms of production, you know, allowing more producers onto the grid to supply electricity. And then, of course, as well, the transmission really is an area where we might see some privatization or private equity stake in order to improve the transmission of electricity through the country, because it's not just not producing a sufficient amount, it's also getting it around the country that's a concern as well. And, of course, lastly, not forgetting Eskom's debt. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we face a Moody's credit rating downgrade, placing that debt onto our balance sheet. Moody's now assesses South Africa's debt as including Eskom's debt as well, and indeed a number of other guarantees. So all of these obviously are a concern. We have seen money pumped into Eskom to try and keep it afloat. We've also seen more stringent requirements in order for Eskom to receive the money. And I think the issues have still got quite a way to go before we actually see resolution. What there probably will be quite a big backlash from is if we start to hear we're going to see tax increases in the budget next year because we now need to find even more money to fund Eskom. I think the sentiment in South Africa is very clear that why should we pay for the corruption that is believed to have taken place at Eskom? And you know, that is really one of the key things I think that needs to happen this year. We need to actually start seeing substantial amounts of money being retrieved that were looted out of South Africa in the years of state capture, and as a consequence the anticipation is that a number of individuals also see jail sentences. So all of these are issues which do need to start occurring to boost sentiment, and of course which haven't happened in the past 2 years, and has been one of the reasons why we've seen business sentiment flag.
This really does seem like it's the same story all over again. What tangible action should be taken, and why hasn't it been taken?
I think a lot of it's lack of political will, you know, the political economy. These reforms which should have been undertaken, which are very clearly listed in National Treasury's growth plan for South Africa, tend to be obstructed by members not only in the ANC, but other politicians as well. So passing them through Parliament clearly is seen as challenging. We also in South Africa are lucky enough to have a consensus-led president, not a dictator, as he says, but nevertheless, progress has also been slow as well. And I think the continual desire to see a quick turnaround is not going to happen unless politicians actually allow the changes that South Africa needs to see to bring its economy up to speed to the century actually occur. You know, we're finding ourselves in a very difficult situation where economic growth dropped from 3.3% in 2011, declined all the way down to about 0.2, 0.3% last year. If that downward trend persists, 2020 could actually record a negative for the whole year.
You talk about below 1% year on year in 2020. You talk about structural problems. You talk about political will, lack of political will in the country to fix what has gone wrong. Let's bring in Moody's. Will Moody's downgrade us?
I think this is the big risk that we're seeing at the moment. They dropped us to a negative outlook at the end of last year, indicating they will downgrade us. And less, of course, we see a return to a stable outlook, which indicates that they are not looking to downgrade us. And of course, everything depends on the budget, which we will see in February, potentially around the 25th. If the budget makes sufficient expenditure cuts in the fiscal projections, and indeed those result in a reduction in the debt and deficit projections, then of course we might see, and if it's enough, we might see the rating agency change our outlook back to stable. Unfortunately, while there probably are going to be adjustments in the budget, they may well prove not to be enough to cause an immediate move back to a stable outlook, and we may still find ourselves on a negative outlook after the budget. And of course, you know, this is the worry. If Moody's downgrades us, certainly a lot of the downgrade has been priced into the markets, but what people forget is what would the markets would be doing at the time of the downgrade. If we are in a very elevated global risk or financial market environment, and then we see a credit rating downgrade, we clearly would likely see a negative reaction in terms of our bond yields moving up, in terms of the rand weakening significantly, and of course as well in terms of a negative impact on your money market rates, your short-term interest rates, all of those of course elevating borrowing costs. And you know, the risk really is that people thinking that an interest rate cut could actually change the growth outlook are mistaken. It will have a very marginal impact on growth, and the big changes really need to come from those structural reforms we were talking about.
You've discussed at great length now what happens when they downgrade us. Let's say they don't. What does that mean for the country?
If we don't see a downgrade, that means we would have to return to a stable outlook. And if we return to a stable outlook, that means that the risk premium built into our bond market, built into the financial indicators, could reduce somewhat. And given that the Reserve Bank actually saw a fair number of individuals on the Monetary Policy Committee looking for an interest rate cut at the last meeting, voting for one indeed, and on balance, there weren't enough votes. If we avoid a Moody's credit rating downgrade, if we move back to a stable outlook, we probably will see an interest rate cut at the following MPC meeting. And of course, what does it mean for the country? It means if we manage to consolidate our government finances sufficiently, that the agency believes we won't get a downgrade. And that, of course, will improve South Africa's fundamentals. It's one of the structural reforms that do need to happen, and that is consolidation of our government finances.
You've painted a broad picture of what will happen. Should we get a downgrade or should we not get downgraded? Let's stick to being downgraded. A downgrade will certainly affect investment into the country. President Cyril Ramaphosa has been at pains to attract investment, this against trying times. Will his efforts suffer a setback should we be downgraded?
Absolutely, I believe they would. You know, we saw last year that we actually experienced private sector fixed investment in South Africa of about 16% in the second quarter and 11% in the third quarter, and that's quarter on quarter. So we saw good levels of fixed investment and proving really that the private sector in South Africa, the private corporate sector, is not on an investment strike. Of course, we haven't got the figures for the fourth quarter, but they may well have been impacted by the change in Moody's outlook from stable to negative, although probably not yet. You know, investment decisions are made quite far in advance, but certainly moving into 2020, the negative outlook probably will weigh on investment decisions. And of course, if we get a credit rating downgrade, it most definitely will. Why? Because borrowing costs will go up in the country, exchange rates will weaken, and of course, the cost of doing business will rise. And you know, the difficulty for South Africa is, and countries that do tend to see substantial credit rating downgrades, they tend to see slower economic growth, and that's not what you want as an investor. You want fast economic growth so you can sell the goods and products better that you're, you know, investing in the production of. So the concern certainly for South Africa is a credit rating downgrade is a negative event. And for those who say we should just get it over with and, you know, let's just all move on with our lives, they miss the entire point. You know, the point really is that credit rating downgrades moving from investment to sub-investment grade will increase market volatility. The financial market indicator in South Africa will see substantially greater volatility. And as a consequence of that, obviously, that means that your rand will see bigger swings, more weakness, more substantial weakness. And of course, probably settling at weaker levels in periods of substantial global risk aversion. So these types of factors are negative. What investors want is they want certainty. You know, fixed investment requires a lot of money, it's a costly exercise, and then these investors want certainty. And if you're going to increase uncertainty, increase market volatility, and of course the risk of a credit rating downgrades occurring further. You know, if we drop a sub-investment grade because we haven't repaired our government finances, it doesn't mean that's now the end of it and we can all just move on and have a happy life. You will continue to see further credit rating downgrades as you move into the territory of Greece and Zimbabwe, because we do need to pay back the money. And credit ratings are nothing else but an indication by the agencies of how likely we are to pay back our money. And if that drops and continues to drop, it means that they believe we are less and less likely to repay the money, which means you are more and more likely to fall into a debt trap, which essentially is a debt default.
Investor confidence is low, business confidence is low, consumer confidence is low. Let's bring in the consumers. What do interest rates and inflation projections look like in the year ahead? Any significant impact to expect?
Look, I think certainly if we don't get a credit rating downgrade, and if we move back to a stable outlook from Moody's, we could see an interest rate cut in the second quarter because the MPC committee was so keen to do one at the end of last year. Of course, if that doesn't happen and we have a poor budget and it looks like we will get a credit rating downgrade, we have to forget about an interest rate cut. But I think certainly from an inflation perspective, inflation is likely to stay fairly moderate this year, around about 4.5%. And the issue really, I think, for consumers and certainly consumer confidence is the fact that unemployment's been rising over this decade as economic growth drops. And of course, that's exactly what you would expect to happen. And the concerns as well is that many consumers have relatively high levels of debt, and of course disposable income, real disposable income growth has been slowing, and that's your take-home pay, your after-tax pay. So all of these factors imply that you will not likely see a massive consumer rebound, and certainly that's one of the reasons why GDP growth is expected to be constrained around 0.8%, because the household consumption expenditure accounts for about two-thirds of GDP.
So in a perfect world, what economic activity should be happening in 2020 to revive growth?
Well, what should happen is that we don't get a bad budget. Instead, we should get a good budget where we see fiscal consolidation and, in particular, cost cutting, cost containment. And, you know, the years of seeing salary and wage increases for civil servants well above the inflation rate, Moody's has indicated needs to now come to an end. And if we see that, and Moody's moves us back onto a stable outlook, then we will probably see the private sector continuing to invest. And the good thing about private sector fixed investment, which began in the second quarter of last year to really take shape, is that it yields long-term results as well as immediate results on the GDP. So building up South Africa's productive factors would strengthen the economy. And as we talked about earlier, cost containment and really shifting expenditure to economic growth enhancing objectives would also be a positive, would also obviously lift and improve the economic outlook. And of course, improving government policies really just actually implementing the reforms and the suggestions would be key for South Africa. So we talk about what economic activity should occur, but really we should say what should occur to stimulate economic activity. And of course, that's implementation of the reforms that have been identified in National Treasury's growth plan. Absent those, we won't get the growth, and we will continue doubtless blaming everyone else instead of actually looking to the fact that we just don't have the will, the political will in South Africa, to proceed along the path that results in strong economic growth.
And finally, what major events are likely to shape this year's economic environment?
I think certainly what will be a core focus is what happens in terms of trade negotiations between the United States and China. Very important for the United States in terms of its presidential election this year. President Trump is expected to get a second term, and as a consequence, US and Chinese trade conflict is expected to dampen down somewhat in order to engender that outcome. And, you know, this is quite key for the global economy because there were fears that we could see a global recession. And if we start to see a reduction in worries around a global recession, which I believe we have already seen this year and towards the end of last year through an improvement in the financial market rates, we've seen the yield curve in the United States no longer inverted, which indicates that the expectation that a recession globally would obviously be less. The point really is that that would be positive for South Africa from a global perspective. Globally, we'll likely continue to see low interest rates and, of course, perhaps even further monetary easing if economic growth slows further. Globally, CPI inflation is also quite contained as well. So really, it's going to come back to South Africa. You know, if you have a fairly supportive to neutral global environment, your performance is going to depend very heavily on what you do in our country.
Well, 2020 is a year to watch out for. Key things to be looking out for: can government reduce a growing budget deficit and debt? And if the next budget delivers more tax hikes, Moody's Country Review of South Africa, the restructuring of Eskom, while global events will clearly continue to have material impact on financial markets and the domestic economy. Annabel, thank you for your insights.
It's a pleasure, Lenyara.
If you have enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendation. Investec Specialist Bank, a division of Investec Bank Limited, is a registered credit provider.